July 29th will be Ladies' Night from 5 till 7. So if you're planning on coming out to that, if you signed up for that, well, which I think we've had sign-up sheets, and they don't need any more brownies or cookies or cakes or anything like that. They want ice cream. So if you can make ice cream, please remember that for next Sunday. And then also it'll be the fifth Sunday, of which we'll have the others offering. On our prayer list this morning, I want to talk about it just a minute. And, you know, if you're able to come out on Wednesday night, the pastor and Brother Dan spends a lot of time going over this prayer sheet. And many of y'all know there is a lot of folks on this sheet. And a lot of people that's going through difficult times and hurting, and so we need to hold them up in prayer. And today, I want to just mention a few that we normally talk about. Bob Daniels, I talked with him yesterday, and he says that he's actually getting enough strength now that he's able to mow his yard. And, of course, he rides that, but still, that's wonderful. That's praise. And so we thank the Lord for his improvement. Now, we just need to pray that God will raise up that blood to where it needs to be. Miss Judy Whitson, I think, had another treatment this week, and we need to remember her. And Pat Shaw has been having ups and downs, as many of you know, for a long time. And I noticed Brother Joe is not here today, and so I'm hoping that Pat is not worse, but maybe he just was hindered another way. Also, Miss Kim Brummett, I spoke to her there before we got started, and she's going to go in August here and get some glasses that hopefully is going to take care of this seeing problem, this sight problem she has. And we thank the Lord that they do have something that they can help her with. So this is something we need to keep in our prayers. Also, Miss Palma Hodges, a member of our class, Miss Frances Lawson, a member of our class, she spent a day in the hospital this week, and she had to get some things took care of there. She's got to go back to the doctor next week to try to find out what they're going to do to help her. She's having some breathing issues. It's from COPD, so y'all pray for her. And then we still remembering Teresa Payne's mom, and keep her in prayer there that things will work out for her, that she'll be able to have some help there at her house. Harold Baskett's sister still waiting to start her treatments. And so last, but of course not least, Preacher Lastly. I talked with him last night, and he was all geared up and jumping. He was going to be here this morning, but he had a really bad night last night with vertigo. And so him and Miss Lastly both are at home today. And so y'all pray for Preacher that God would touch him. Do we have any other prayer requests that we need to mention this morning? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day, God, for your blessings to us, and God, for how you've watched over us, Lord, not just today, but for many, many days down through our lives, God. And Lord, you've brought us to this point, and Lord, we pray that you will continue to be with us, Lord, not only here in this Sunday school class, Lord, that you will bless it. You'll bless Brother Steve, God, that you'll help him to have clarity of mind, and Lord, to explain these things to us, Lord, so we can have a better understanding. And Father, we do pray that you will bless the services today with the pastor, and Lord, just give him the message that you'd have us to hear. Lord, we are thankful that he had a little bit of time away this week to rest, he and his family. And God, we also pray, Lord, for these special requests that we've mentioned this morning. We pray for our preacher Lashley, and pray, God, that you will touch him, touch his body, and Lord, whatever's causing this vertigo problem, Lord, that you'll either touch him and miraculously heal him, Lord, or you'll let the doctors know what to do about it. God, thank you for loving us. We thank you for the cross. Thank you for the blood that was shed there for our sin. And God, we just pray today that you'll be with us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Danny. Today, as we continue on looking at the names of God, we're going to look at Jehovah Nissi, N-I-S-S-I, Nissi, N-S-I. We can pronounce it in a couple different ways. We're going to go to a familiar story in the Word, Exodus chapter 17, starting in verse 8, how God provided. And we looked at Jehovah Jireh and how he provided for the nation of Israel, and how he gave them water from a rock, how he gave them manna from heaven, and he was the provider. And we still have the nation of Israel here confronting trouble for the first time, and Satan is attacking the nation of Israel. Now, all these things that the nation of Israel, because of God's promise to the nation of Israel that was God's people, we look through the Old Testament and how Satan attacked them over and over and over again, and God would step in and save them. The nation eventually would look up to God and cry out, and God would hear them. Here's another time. Of course, Moses is in charge. And let's look at these verses right here. And it says, "And then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So we remember this story. So Joshua did as Moses said to him, fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Ur went up on top top of the hill. Excuse me. You got a mint. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone to put under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Ur stayed his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Thanks, honey. So we see here that Moses was upholding his staff, which the staff had been a banner or a sign or like a flag, a standard, an ensign since the crossing of the Red Sea. We see that Moses held up that staff and God parted the Red Sea. We see they were needing water at one time there, one of the stories, and he hit the rock and water came out. So this staff was a something to look at. The nation of Israel always needed visuals, even up into the New Testament. That's why Christ had to do a lot of the miracles that he did, because people wanted to see something. the faith that we have now, strengthened and helped by the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Before the cross, we know that the Holy Spirit would come and go, especially in the Old Testament, would come on these old prophets of old and come on the disciples in the New Testament until Christ was on the cross, died, rose again, and then the Holy Spirit came. About a couple of weeks later, Christ came back, and that changed everything for salvation. We get that strength today to be able to look to God and look for that strength and look at what God represents. Jehovah Nissi reveals that even though the battle was with the enemies and it was physical and it was a terrible battle, because the world is flesh, and then you got the devil in the middle of all this, not wanting the nation of Israel to survive. He was against God on every level. He kept on and kept on, and even when Christ was challenged and kept on. And we see that the devil never gives up, and he's not give up today. We still have to deal with all that. With us having to deal with the flesh and the devil attacking us, just as he used the Amalekites there to attack the nation of Israel, he's still on the attack today. I mean, my goodness, we look at broken homes, broken hearts. I mean, life's completely tore apart. Satan is working on our flesh. We're just flesh. We have a new nature, yes, but we still have the flesh to deal with. And boy, does Satan use it against us. But despite Satan's relentless attacks, victory is assured with God's power. The Israelites, the example here of Moses holding up the staff was nothing but a symbol to the nation of Israel that the power was with God, and they saw it on the field of battle. So they were visual. And I'm still visual too. We are flesh, we're visual. We want to see things. But going forth from this point, battle, let's read just a little bit more. And in verse 13, and Joshua discomforted Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehash it in the ears of Joshua, and I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven. And verse 15 says, and Moses built an altar and called the name Jehovah Nissi. Right there's the first time that this was used in the Bible. Verse 16 says, for he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. So the best that we can understand, Moses carried books with him, and he kept records. One of the things that Israelites were good was keeping genealogy and records. In the Old Testament, he kept records of all the things that happened in a book, and now we have it as part of the Bible, part of the Old Testament that Moses had written. So we see this meaning of this Jehovah Nissi. It can be different things. In Isaiah, it talks about a standard and an ensign. In Numbers, it talks about a sign. In Psalms, it talks about a banner. In Numbers, it talks about a pole. We see different ways that God has used symbols to represent who he is and what he does for us. the banners that we know of often have flags on them. Back in the day, a lot of these warriors had a pole with a symbol on top of it, or some kind of shiny rock or something that was carried in front of their armies. And these armies would die for that, as long as that pole was standing. They would defend that in a mighty way. Often these banners are, in today's, we have flags. Our nation anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner, it expresses the importance of the battles that we've seen our men fight. And one of the great examples is the battle there on Iwo Jima, and the picture of those men raising the flag on top of that hill. Well, I was in the service, and Harold was in the service, and some others here. I brought my flag that means something to me. Now, this is old and tattered, but in 1971, this flag flew on top of my destroyer in the Mediterranean. Now, they didn't last long, going at 20 and 30 knots all the time. About a month would do them in. Well, they were going to throw it away. One day I was up on the top deck, and the boat's mates and people were up there, and I said, "Can I have that flag?" And they said, "Sure." So I put it away and kept it. I've had it in a case. It's a little tattered, but it means something to me. We'd pull into port, of course. They would pull it off the main mast, and they would shift the colors. And when you get underway, and if you go to a Navy base, you'll see the flags hanging on a flagpole on the rear of the ship. And when you get underway, they take that flag down and put it up on the main mast. They called it shifting the colors. You remember that, Harold? And what a great thing to look up and see the flag flying above your ship. And what it represents. What it represents. Is there any power in that flag? Well, there's power in our hearts from looking at it, knowing that we're serving a great country. We see that flag today, and I don't know that there's some generations that doesn't respect that. And I know there's many generations that don't respect that. But we have these symbols of banners that signals to people to rally around God, rally around our nation. And these poles, this Nessie was just a pole at that time. But God's people rallied around that. And today, I rally around this, God's word. This is God's power. Just as much as the rod that Moses had, and God used that as a tool to show the nation of Israel power, today we have the New Testament. And you can see I have my flag on here. That flag is a Nessie for my country, but this is a Nessie of God. That's his symbol of power. So how do we apply that to our lives today? How is this story relevant? You can look at the history here that the Amalekites come out of a battle with God's people. They were fighting God's people, but it was all woven in a plan that Satan had back in Genesis. Ehu was the twin brother of Jacob, and Ehu was born first and had the rightful claim to his birthright. But if you'll remember the story, he was hungry, he came in, he wanted some stew, and his brother brought him some stew, and he said, if you'll just cook for me, I can't do it. I'll give you my birthright. And he gave that away at that point just for some food. He had no value on the nation of Israel and what it meant for him to be the firstborn in that family, and gave that away. He sold his birthright, this eternal value that he had, for a temporary situation, just to the salvation of his flesh at that time. You might want to say it that way. The world, the way we look at things today, is so different. People have forgotten what that stands for, and even that. What a great country we have. Even the flags flying on top of our Capitol, sometimes people don't recognize what it stands for. And I guess that being in the military, it's kind of enhanced it for me. When you're in a foreign country, I've been on the mission field in quite a few places. And I was in Burma, it's Myanmar today, a very, very dangerous place. But we went down a street, and there was a gate there, and there was a flag on top of a building, the American Embassy. One of the first things we always tried to do, if you were in the capital city of any country, find where that American Embassy's at, and look and see that flag flying on top of it. What a wonderful thing. Folks, we've quit looking. We quit looking at this as an emblem of God's salvation and his power against the forces of darkness in this world. Now, a lot of people think, well, that darkness stuff, it's just a fairy tale. It's as real as we breathe this air. Satan is the prince and the power of this atmosphere. God's allowed that because we have a choice to make. Serve God or serve the devil. And it's become, I think it's become numb to a generation that they don't know what, they don't have any idea what sacrifices have been made to have that flag fly. They don't have any idea what sacrifices was made to have that cross hanging there that Christ died on. So we have these symbols or flags or ensigns or poles or whatever you want to call them back then, revealed the power of God. I truly believe, and I think most people believe, of our generation, that flag was protected by God in this great country. From day one when it was created, this country, look to God, look at our Constitution, look at all those things that these godly men set up in this great country. And we've forgotten what God and the power that he could be. We would be in a port somewhere and out on shore and miles away from the ship or wherever, and you come back and you see that hanging on the fantail of an American warship. What power that represented. What to know you were allowed to walk up that gangplank and get on that ship. It was an amazing thing, amazing feeling to know you were part of something. I'm part of something. Do you feel it? Or has it gone numb in your life? You're part of something. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, look to the power. Look to this ensign, God's Word. We just forget. We let life and the rushes of life and the business of life. And because of this one, because of it, he sold his eternal value, his the Amalek's. Esau was Amalek's. It was his grandfather. He was the grandfather of the Amalek generation. Because of that one situation where he sold his birthright, that whole line of people came out of that. And Satan used that. Because of that inheritance situation, the devil stepped in and said, I'm going to use this situation right here to take care of the nation of Israel, to be a thorn in their flesh, to try to stop God from his plan. Folks, the devil has plans to destroy anything good. Anything in our family's good. God writes it down in many places. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The power of his might is in this book for us today. We just have to get in it and find that power for the situation. We have to look to that. Look to God's word. Put on the whole, we know these verses. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And here it is. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, if you believe God's word is all in all. You can't pick parts out of it and say, I don't know. You got to believe it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Do we have spiritual wickedness in high places today? I have to think we do. Just as Satan did not like God's plan, Satan does not like this country that stands for what? For God we trust. How many people's forgotten that? How many people don't care today? Because this wickedness, this spiritual wickedness, and God's word says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand the evil day. And having done so, stand. Well, folks, I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand with that flag, and I'm going to stand with that flag. Against the wiles of the devil. With God's help. I can't do it on my own. Because he says, put on the whole armor of God. Standing therefore, and the next verse says, standing therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Of course, it goes on and on about this. And then verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Folks, we got to pray. We got to ask God to step into some of these messes we have in this world. And let's bring it back home. To step into our families' lives, our children's lives, our loved ones' lives. Just so many messes, broken homes in this world today. I was talking to Pam's dad the other day. He's in his 80s. And we were talking about somebody was getting a divorce. Somebody was breaking, the family busting up with kids. Now, most of you are all of age enough to know that years ago, we heard, when you hear about somebody getting divorced, it was, oh my, it's a terrible thing. Today, it's just whatever. People just, they don't put any power of God in their life. They don't look to the book. They don't look to the power to get it in their lives to make a change. And most of the time, it's bad communication. Nobody talks. Nobody prays. Nobody, nothing. It's just go through life and go through the motions. And that's going on and on and on as the generations come along. I look back at the Old Testament and it talks about the nation of Israel, and there come a generation that knew not God, that knew not His Word. Is that where we're heading? Are you going to let that happen in your family? I'm not going to. With God's help, I'm not going to let my family forget about God and forget about church as long as I'm breathing air. That's just what if we'd step up and do that and think about everybody else, if everybody else would step up and do that, is it hard to do? Of course it is. Preacher Lashley used to say, there's an old four-letter word that gets in the way. W-O-R-K, work. We got to work. We got to get in that word and work at this, or the devil will just take over. Second Corinthians 10:3 says, for through we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. These strongholds that the devil has placed in people's lives. We can't do it. It says it right here. The warfare is not weapons, not something in your hand. It's back to that verse 18 there, and that other verse that says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. We can go on and on and on and fight, just as the nation of Israel was ready to fight this, the Amalekites at this time. The battle was not in their sword. The battle was in that Moses holding up that staff that represented God's power, because when he let it down, they would lose. I just pray that our great nation doesn't let it down any farther than it's already been let down. I just pray that my family holds up God's word in their life and not let it down. The battle is against powers, rulers in darkened places of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I was in the Ukraine about 8 or 10 years ago on a trip. And we were out in the middle, way out toward the west, where it's all the battles going on right now. Wonderful group of people, great church. Iron Curtain had failed. People had gotten out of prison. Churches were starting. You'd go through these towns and they'd still be tanks and symbols of the Communist Party everywhere. people getting saved, work going on. But when we got there, the preacher on the ground, we had an interpreter with us, was having trouble getting things lined up to get the preaching started, to get the street preaching started and the community preaching started. So he said, we need to pray about this. He said, there's something holding us back. And we started praying. I have never felt spiritual darkness until then in that country. That's what's going on there today. It's flowed down from the north back into that country. Probably never left. We felt spiritual darkness, the oppression, that you couldn't get anything done. It was a real thing. Could we touch it? Could we see it? No, but we sure could feel it as Christians. As we was praying, God, show us how to, show us what we need to do. God, help us fix this. Get this, whatever it is, away. So we all started praying, and within 2 days, God revealed two men that was stirring in the background, wickedness, this misinformation and just wicked stuff. Well, anyway, we found out who it was, and this little church and the people that were in it rode those two people, as they say, rode them out of town on a rail. Once we got those folks to the side, did we figure it out on our own? No, God revealed it through circumstances, and I don't have time to tell you all the circumstances. And immediately after that, things opened up. We went into one of those air bases that the Communist Party left, and there's people living in this big concrete building, and they all come out, and we started handing out tracts and Bibles and started preaching on the grounds there in the middle of the place. People came out doors from everywhere. God had opened up the doors for these people to be saved. And one old guy was a swooping and a going on, y'all get out of here and all this stuff. Well, he ends up getting saved at the end of the day too. It was a wonderful thing to see. God's power turned loose. Just out of that one little 2-3 hour thing, 50, 60 people got saved out of those buildings. Kids getting saved. We go down to little old communities, just like you see on TV, that's been blown all to pieces. Little old communities. Nothing but farmers. And lots of people got saved. God's power was turned loose. We didn't do it. We prayed it in. And had a great trip. But spiritual darkness is a real thing. And I'm telling you, I'm not sure, but I think I've felt it once or twice in traveling in this country. It never used to be that way. Satan is trying to get a foothold. Go into some of these communities that are kind of dark, and you start kind of, oppression. Do I need to even be here? God's word needs to be there. People need to be saved. We need to hold up the Bible. Hold up the Bible. Attacks from Satan, folks, we have the power right here. Hold up the staff, just like Moses brought down the power through his staff of God and won that battle. We can win the battle with this right here. We can win the battle. And praise the Lord for my great nation. What a wonderful nation we have. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love and thank you for your grace. Thank you for being there for us. God, we know that there's spiritual darkness in the world, and we pray that you would bless our church here. No, don't ever let it get started in here. God, put your hand of protection, put a hedge of protection around this church and the functions of it. Lord, put a hedge of protection around our families. We're looking up to you. We're looking up at Jehovah Nessie, the banner, the standard, the bright light, the power of God through your word. Help us, Lord, every day to look to you and let you do the battling. We don't have the power to do it. Lord, help us today. Lord, pray for our service today. Pray for our preacher and as he preaches this morning. Help him preach the words that someone's heart needs to be changed through the word and people be saved. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys.